Hello and welcome to Fruitcast, the official Fruit Logistica podcast brought to you by Fruitnet. My name is Mike Knowles and I'm speaking to you live from Berlin at Fruit Logistica, the world's leading fresh produce trade show. Now, in this episode, we are turning our focus to Latin America. With new market demand increasing in other parts of the world, what does this mean for Latin American fresh produce suppliers in terms of their commercial focus and their trade priorities? We want to know, what opportunities do growers and exporters see to strengthen their presence in Europe? And what will be the strategies and innovations needed to achieve that goal? We've got two wonderful guests with us today. I'll introduce them now. We have Ignacio Caballero. He is the marketing director of Frutas de Chile. And Daniel Diaz, the commercial director for Central and East Northern Europe. Let me get that right. Yeah. At Procomer Europe, so representing Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, right.
Daniel, Ignacio, a very warm welcome to Fruitcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, Mike. It's an honor to be.
Thank you for having us.
Now, listen, Europe has traditionally been a really important market for Latin American fruits and vegetables. But in recent years, the continued dominance of North America as an alternative market and also Asian opportunities opening new demand for your products. We feel like that's changed the focus for Latin America, or perhaps it's extended the priorities, the list of jobs that you have to do in terms of selling your wonderful fruits and vegetables. Ignacio, what has changed for Chile in the last few years?
Well, a lot. You know, see, the world has changed a lot. All the consumer trends have changed a lot. Europe was one of the main markets. It's one of the highest consumption of fresh fruits in the world. But the other regions are growing, so they're matching up. So obviously, Europe as a mature market, it is more regulation, harder to get, and new markets opening the frontiers have put a lot of pressure in competition and potential new commercial opportunities outside of Europe.
Mm. Now, of course, Daniel, I know you will say that Europe is important. You've just moved from Costa Rica to the Netherlands, just in the last week, I believe.
Yes.
Of course, as a representative of exports from Costa Rica, you want to keep the options as open as possible. But what's the priority for Costa Rica? Is it Europe? Is it other parts of the world? How does Europe feature in your list of market opportunities?
Yeah, when you look at the data, for example, last year we exported $1.4 billion to Europe in just fresh produce, in fruit and vegetables. And four of the five top export destinations from Costa Rica are actually in Europe. It's the Netherlands, it's Spain, UK, Russia. So yeah, the US is usually our main export market, but we're extremely focused on making the pipe bigger. Mm. So in also growing everywhere and understanding that there's options elsewhere, for sure. But that doesn't mean that Europe is going to be left out of our exporting efforts.
Yeah. Now, you both have certain products which have traditionally come to Europe. And you mentioned the Netherlands. The Netherlands has been a real focus for imports of Chilean produce and Costa Rican produce. Has that mix of products changed in any way? Let's focus on the products first and then the markets. Ignacio, is Chile sending different products now to Europe than it did before?
Yes, yes. Well, part of the decrease that we're seeing from Chile to Europe in the last 15 years, we have decreased to half of the fruit that we're sending to Europe. Mm. It's pretty much because of the mix. Chile 15 years ago was very intensive in grapes and apples. Those commodities have decreased a lot. Mm. Still, they're the largest to Europe, but they represent much less of our new commodities. Now, new products are growing. Cherries, you know, is quite trendy, and they're going 90% to Asia. Mm. Also, we're growing blueberries, which still has a good opportunity here, but obviously it's more complex. So definitely, all the mix of products have changed for Chile. Mm.
Is that the same for Costa Rica, Daniel, that there's been a change in the mix, but maybe retaining some of those core products?
Yeah, for sure, retaining. I mean, pineapple and bananas are the biggest export product of Costa Rica in terms of fresh produce. I mean, we're the largest exporter of pineapple in the world and the second largest exporter of banana in the world. So for sure, I mean, a lot of this comes through the Netherlands into Europe. It still is the same way, and it will remain this way for a while, I think. But we've added some other products like cassava, like eros. So that's, we're also diversifying and looking into different options.
Mm. And then outside Europe, there is a lot of action. Ignacio, I know the cherries deal into China, which is just kind of finishing up now. Mm. That's such an important part of that export mix for you. Does that mean Europe has become less important? Is it too easy to say that?
It's too easy to say that. I think we have a new wave, a new trend that we should take. We are seeing that global supply of fruit is growing way over than demand. So we need to find new opportunities. Chile has put Europe in second place. I think that's a little thing that we're trying to change. It's good to be here in Fruit Logistica. Also, we're going to other firms in Europe that are gaining importance. So we need to strengthen our position in Europe, because right now you need to get more markets. And we have a huge, like I mentioned, we reduced to half of our volume. We need to retain the Europe market. And it's a challenge. We have to reach the consumer, try to increase the consumption of fresh fruit. Some studies have revealed that it's decreasing a little bit. So I think it's a huge opportunity to grow. I think we have to try again to enter in this new consumer in new ways, who are seeking for healthier, more snackable options for your day-to-day food.
Now, both of your countries have always done consumer promotions. They've always approached the market to try and fly the flag for Chile, fly the flag for Costa Rica. Ignacio, are you still doing that in Europe? Are you going to do more?
Well, we have reduce a lot what we're doing through Europe. The problem for Europe is that it's not a uniform region, you know. You can't go to entire Europe with one promotion. You have to go to UK, you have to go to Germany, to Spain with French, different language, culture. So it's very hard to access the consumer. You have to go market by market.
I guess that's why, Daniel, you are responsible for a part of Europe, and then you have colleagues who are focused, for example, on Eastern Europe, exactly. Southern Europe. Do they have different priorities in terms of their marketing marketing promotions?
And each market receives and looks for different products, even when, again, bananas, pineapple are also on top of the list. But yeah, we have someone in Spain, for example, running an office there. We have someone in the UK, in the Netherlands, also looking even new markets, or let's say more emerging markets like Turkey, for example. That's maybe not the first market that you think of when you're in terms of moving high volumes of pineapple, but we are doing that. I agree with Ignacio for sure. These maybe tailored-made approach to each one of these countries and regions is for sure necessary to be able to have the outcomes that you're looking for.
This is a slightly strange question, but is Europe a difficult place to sell produce? You mentioned, I think, at the beginning, Ignacio, that the bar in terms of certification standards is arguably higher than anywhere else in the world. And of course, the buyers of cherries in China, they're very discerning, they're very particular about the quality, but maybe the paperwork that needs to be done is less. So what does that mean in practice?
Well, you know, this is an open market economy, so if you have a price as an indicator and you have barriers, more requests, you know, certification is a problem, because there are many certifications. We don't see one entire standard. So if you want to go to Europe, you need to have all the certification for a specific retailer. And if you want, so that cuts flexibility, and the market has to be very fast. So if somehow we can build into a more standardized certification where you do all the work for every market, but then you can choose which market to go, not to close the deal when you're a hand that you don't know, we'll do it. And the other thing that we will try and we're working with is a retailer in Europe. It's very hard to do promotions inside the retailer. They have different rules. They don't allow you to be with your brand. So it is this incentive for us for trying to do that. We want to partner with them to increase the consumption. But if we can't be in the point of sales where you get the more revenue for the actions, it's very hard to try to encourage that. Yeah.
So, Daniel, how do you in Europe manage to, for example, get your, it's a hummingbird, isn't it, the symbol of Costa Rica, how do you get that on the packs? Is that possible?
It's difficult. I mean, you have to sell the whole story, and Costa Rica has a big story to sell, has a lot of nice things that we can for sure promote. I think sustainability is for sure a core value for us as a country. It's part of a country brand. It's part of everything that we do. And I think it's also an opportunity. When we're talking about, for example, UDR and what's coming there, it can be a challenge. It could be an opportunity, depending on how you look at it and what you do to react to it. And another thing is carbon footprint, for example. Okay. Now consumers are looking into that. So, okay, if you're very far away, what does it mean shipping something from Costa Rica to the to Europe, for example? So it's not just growing the product, it's moving it, it's getting it to the shelves. All of that counts. And being able to understand how it works and maybe getting that message through to the consumer that, for example, in agriculture, you can be a carbon sink. So those are all options, interesting options that I think are worth looking into and getting that message to the end consumer. Yeah.
And in practice, the process of getting the message across, what strategies do you recommend? I guess Costa Rica has an advantage with certain products because they're year-round and that matches the kind of the dynamic in the market. Retailers in Europe really want year-round supply. How would you get that message across? How would you practically...
It's not very simple, and I think it's also maybe like a day-to-day work, and it's Procomer for sure. It's the trade promotion agency that does it. It's also each company by itself. It's also each Costa Rican just being us and sending that message out when we talk to people. So it's very, I think it's a sum of a very small efforts, but they really allow us to maybe, and to also be consistent with what we're showing and what we're doing. That needs to really align and work.
To complement, we totally agree. Sustainability is a big issue right now. We're working toward that. So that the Chile is working. We're generating the first industry report for sustainability. We're trying to measure the thing. The footprint is key. Chile has very good indicators in this. And we want to communicate to the European. We don't want to give only bad news. We think it's a huge opportunity. We need Europe back. We have a nice storytelling to start telling Europe. So definitely we want to be more closer to these new trends that in Europe are especially more important than other parts of the world.
Now, just finally, the world faces quite an uncertain future at the moment. And on the one hand, there is the possibility of new barriers to trade like tariffs or logistical challenges that we've seen in different parts of the world recently. And on the other hand, there is arguably a chance for lots of new access to markets, especially in Asia, which were previously closed, or perhaps new products coming along, like you mentioned, Ignacio, new products that will create new ways to sell. With all of that in mind, it's a big topic, but what kind of big changes do you expect to see, especially here in Europe, and how will your country's exporters cope with that and deal with what lies ahead?
Yeah, we have a line in the food business that every season is different and has different challenges. Now we have new challenges for sure, a lot of noise, political noise. We don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, we believe that the world is a global market, especially in produce, because you can move the fruit everywhere. It's pretty much open Chilean fruit to everyone. So any type of distortion will move the fruit. The fruit will be produced, you know. So you have to give it to different market. That will move the market. Fruit is very elastic to volume. So the more volume to one market, decrease price. Especially we've seen in Europe what happened with Russia. Once Russia is closed, we see more fruit. So prices went down. That's so dynamics is obviously something that we have to be challenging. Obviously, we don't like a noise or tariff. But we are resilient people. We see that things usually turn around. Opportunities present. We're hoping that things get better and will be very challenging. We have to be very open and strong communication lines to everyone.
Yeah, I think that there are options everywhere. We just have to look for them. It's not going to be easy, and it also means that we need to be innovative. We need to do new things, to do things differently, to find new solutions, and also how can we contribute to really making a difference and making maybe the world a better place in terms, again, going back to sustainability, and how can we add value, let's say, to society even, how to face, for example, climate change, and how to really understand how farmers can adapt to it. How can we be more resilient? How can Costa Rica contribute to all of that things going on? I think that's an opportunity for sure. Something that we're interested in doing more and more, that we've been doing for a while, and that we believe in. So for sure, going to different markets, it's important for us. We have been working for a very long time now in a very strong platform of free trade agreements. Mm-hmm. We have free trade agreements with a lot of people. A lot of things are happening, so some things may come in question, but we are an open market. Yeah. We understand that it's important, and we will keep along those lines again.
So generally, a pretty positive outlook, some challenges, but really an optimistic view of what's to come in terms of Chilean and Costa Rican and indeed all Latin American produce into Europe and beyond. Ignacio and Daniel, thank you very much. That's all we have time for, but we're really grateful to you for being here in Berlin with us. You've been listening to Fruitcast, the official Fruit Logistica podcast brought to you by Fruitnet. For more great episodes, please subscribe to Fruitcast in your favorite podcast player. And don't forget to visit fruitlogistica.com for more information about the world's leading fresh produce trade show. So for now, thank you very much and goodbye.